Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
As we go to the Word of the Lord tonight, I just want to tell you that I have a message that I've just been thinking about for quite some time. And before I even give you the title of the message, let me explain something to you. There's something that Debbie and I like to do. Most of you already know this, that when we kind of get away, we try to find a sailboat and get away and go sailing, like to sail. Debbie's become a pretty good sailor. Almost every sailboat that you're on that's of any size has something called a depth gauge or a depth finder. It tells you how far the ground is, how deep the water is. It tells you about how deep the water is below, the keel of the boat, and so you don't run into things. And if you don't know the depth of the water, oftentimes you will end up crashed on some jetty or maybe hit a sand barge or just ruin your whole boat. So constantly when you're sailing around certain areas that you may not be familiar with, you're checking the depth gauge. Also, they have all kinds of charts, so they're all over the world. They'll tell you in low tide and high tide what the depth of the water is. And I was just looking at depth gauge the other day, and I just noticed if I could just determine inside of me what the depth is of my love for God. Debbie and I were talking recently, and we were just sharing about how some people that are Christians, call themselves Christians, go through the format of being a Christian and the formula of being a Christian, but really don't have any depth of God. They really don't know where they're at in their love relationship with God. They say they love God, but their lifestyle doesn't show that they really love God like they need to love God in order to be blessed. And it's just frustrating over the years, because my job, if I have a job, which I don't have, I have a calling, I have an anointing. But there is a job involved in it. My job is to make sure that your life is blessed by getting you deeply in love with God. Sometimes that's hard to do with a lot of people because they hear words and it goes in one ear and out the other. Or they'll come in and sing songs, but they won't do much about anything. They won't come in and do much about their commitment to Christ. They won't come in and make a second effort. They won't come in and really get serious about their relationship with God. Almost everybody that you ask that's a Christian, do you love God? They'll say yes. But I often wonder, how deep is their love? I wish there was just like a little depth finder on the side of our heart that could tell us where we're really at, in not what we think, but in the eyes of God. Because what I think oftentimes is different than what God thinks and what God sees. And my lifestyle literally speaks about how deep I am when I'm in love with God and not in love with God. So tonight, I thought it would be good for us to measure the depth of our love. Measuring the depth of our love determines, and you have to do this with an open mind and an open heart. For me, I don't love Him as much as I ought to love Him. I don't love Him as much as I should love Him. I don't love Him as much as He is worthy to be loved. And I want that to change. I love probably more than most people, but I still love to love Him the way He wants me to love Him. And I need to measure the depth of my love for God. Not just the formula that I live in relationship with God, but the depth of my heart. Because everything comes out of that love relationship. The one that's going to put a little extra in with time and prayer or singing and worship or church attendance or even in giving or even in caring or even in helping someone else, all is determined by the depth of their love for God. And so I thought it'd be great for us to do some things to measure that depth. I want to take you to John the 14th chapter. Jesus is speaking in John the 14th chapter. In case you didn't notice, by the way, I'm holding up my new Bible. Yours are coming soon, and we'll tell you more about that as time goes. But John, the 14th chapter, Jesus says these words, and He says, In verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The original translation would be a better interpretation and say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That would be a better translation. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, because you care enough about me to want to do that and be what I have you to be. In other words, so what you do shows really the depth of your love. If you love me, I love the word if there, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So what you do shows the depth of your love. Now, there's a lot of things that we could do to show how we love God. But I was just sharing with the Holy Spirit this morning and talking to him about this, and he gave me simply three things that we can practice doing day in and day out to make sure that our love is always deep with God and that we follow what he would have us do. Because again, what we do shows who we are. And these three things are really fascinating. Before I take you there, I want to just share one more verse with you, if I may, in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Just pop it up on the overhead. Verse number 35 comes along. He says, a man comes to Jesus, who's a lawyer, is kind of trying to trick him. And he talks to Jesus, and he says these words. Ask a question, testing him, and say in verse number 36, says these words. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse number 37 comes along, and he says, and Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And then he goes along and he says, this is, verse number 38, this is the first and the greatest commandment. But verse 39 comes along and he says, the second thing is that you should love your neighbor even as yourself. And I can understand loving my neighbor as myself, because he's really talking about an unselfish relationship where someone else becomes as important as I am to myself. But when I went back to verse number 37, and let's go back there, he says, here's the number one thing, love God with all of your mind and your soul, love God with all of your heart. That can be interpreted 1,000 different ways. There's probably 1,200 people here tonight. There's probably 1,100 or 1,200 different ways on how that can be interpreted. And what he is really saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. What does that mean? With all of your soul and with all of your mind. What does that mean? There's a consuming thing that he's describing here. I mean, everything, all means all. It doesn't mean a part of. It doesn't mean a Sunday morning or a Sabbath morning or occasional church attendance or occasional. I mean, all is all. Of course you have to live on this planet, but you're in the world, but you're not of it. But my goodness, he is really describing a relationship of everything, man. You are, he is your all in all. He is your everything. He is everything to you. That's got to be the most important thing that God's after. And when someone makes God an everything and not just a something, life changes. Prayers get answered. New anointing start. Doors start to open. Bad, evil doors start to close. Things start to happen in your life. You now have a future. You now have a destiny. You now have a purpose. So how deep is our love? Great question. Really, if I'm going to add to that, I'm going to put how deep is our, and I'm going to give you number one. How deep is our, here's three things, here's number one. How deep is our respect? A reverence, a fear of who God is. Without a reverence, without a respect, without a fear of who God is, you and I just become like tokens on this planet. We become like pawns on a chessboard, being pushed around by the winds of the world, or the friends, or society, or the social system. But when you come to a place where you realize that you are totally in respect and reverence, and you're in awe, and you fear who God is, he is not your buddy. He is our friend that sticks closer. But may I say this to you? He is not your buddy. He is God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. And listen to this. We need to have a respect level and a reverence level that we can all work on. and a fear level about who he is and what he does and what he can do. And how important is the question for all of us, is God? Is he just something in our life? Is he just there when we need him? Is he there when we need to pray? Is he there as a thought for comfort when times are tough? Or is he really God Almighty? What's the fear level? Can we just treat him as something that's unimportant? Can we just, you know, allow stuff in our life that keeps us from being, you know, all that he wants us to be and think that he is going to accept that? I don't know, but I think the worst assumption we could have is to assume that God will tolerate our foolishness. We need to be a people that realize he is very important. Someone came up to me the other day, I was talking about sailing, and they walked up to me and they were talking to me about sailing, and they said these words and they were almost insulting to me. They said, "Is sailing your passion?" And I couldn't believe the question. They were so serious, but may I say this to you? That's the stupidest question in the world to ask me. Sailing is something I do and enjoy, but it is not my passion. My passion is Jesus Christ. And it's got to be. Why? Because I'm in fear. I'm in reverence. I'm in awe of who he is. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth and holds it all together by the power of his might. He can make whatever needs to happen, happen. He can open the blind eyes, raise the dead. He can stop me in my tracks today, or I can keep on living. God determines my future. The government doesn't, but God does. And I was saying to them, no, it's not my passion at all. My passion's God. Deborah, I'm passionate about Deborah, but not even close to how I'm passionate about God. Passionate about my kids, I'm passionate about you. I pray for God's best for you every day, that God meet your needs, and that God build your heart strong, and God takes care of you, and God causes you to be healthy so you grow in the ways that you set a destiny in progress, that your children's children would know that great-grandpa and great-grandma served God, and I'm here today because they prayed and believed God. I'm here to see you healthy, and you're my passion, but nowhere like the passion that I have for God. There's an importance in him. And without a fear, nothing is understood. And I think we miss that. We mistreat him. In Proverbs, the 9th chapter, you might want to just go there quickly with me. And let's take a look at Proverbs, the 9th chapter. And verse number 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." But the fear of God is the beginning. In other words, you have no real wisdom until you get to the place where you fear God. Respect and reverence who he is. Listen to this. Have a position of like, I'm in awe of who God is. Now, that doesn't just come overnight. It comes by hanging around him and realizing how great he is and powerful he is and how strong he is and how much he cares and loves for us. And all more you know about him, the greater awe you will have about him. It just doesn't happen because someone waved a magic wand over your head and all of a sudden you're in awe and reverence and respect about God. But fear of the Lord is the beginning. A beginning of what? Wisdom. You have no wisdom until you start somewhere. The wisdom comes when you start getting reverent about who God is. It's amazing how people treat God like he's something that's common. God is not common. He is wonderful, magnificent, and great, and holy, and to be praised, and to be sung about, and to be danced about, and to worship him with your all and all in your being, and to be in love with him, and to be happy about him, and be grateful for him, and trust him, because he's in control, and he is a just and wonderful and mighty God. But without fear, there's no beginning to the understanding and wisdom that you need. Because the knowledge of the Holy One brings what? Understanding. All of a sudden, when I have knowledge about Him because I had fear about who He is, now I understand what life is all about. Now I can make the decisions based on the things of God and know why I make those decisions. But it only comes when you fear God. We fear our friends. We fear society's social system. We're afraid of what people might think of us. We're more concerned about how we speak or talk or look because we don't want to be judged by people. And here God comes along and tells us that the one we need to respect to be reverent of, number one, is Him, God. So how deep is our love? Well, how deep is our respect? How deep is our love? Here's number two. How deep is our commitment? A commitment means something. Nowadays, it doesn't mean a lot in our society. But it ought to Christians. A commitment means I walk a walk, talk a talk, live a life without compromise. We all compromise on some areas, but my goodness, let's have enough reverence that we start to learn how not to compromise. Many people that call themselves Christians still hang around sin and evil, allowing it into their life, compromising who they are and what they stand for, because they've been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, now they allow stuff around them, in their homes, in their lives, in their families, in their future, in everything around them that pollutes who they are. Because they have taken a stand instead of a stand of commitment to the ways of God. We have taken a stand in American society of compromise. It's okay. And the reason for that is because, back to number one, there's no reverence and no respect. And we let people who do not reverence and people who do not respect on people who do not have an awe for who God is control us because we compromise. And I wonder why. Are we afraid of Him more than we are of man? We should be. I don't know about you, but Deborah and I grew up, when we grew up and found ourselves saved, we got so excited about God, we said, if this is real, I want all I can get. And over the years, I found out it was real. Years and years and years and years, and it started to fit together and it started to become more real. And then there was no turning back. I just knew too much. And for most of you that are in here, you can't go back. You cannot compromise. But here's what you can check yourself on, whether or not your commitment is as strong as it used to be, because the world wants to wear you down, and whether or not you're letting evil come in to your households. Where it used to stand and say, no way, I'm not allowing that. Now we compromise and we allow it. And we let evil in instead of putting up a stand. I like what Proverbs 8th chapter, we're in Proverbs anyway, just flip the page backwards, 8th chapter. By the way, 915 is the page number. Proverbs 8th chapter, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I mean, Deborah and I don't want to hate people. Never did. But we hate evil. Absolutely hate anything that is contrary to the ways of God. Here is why. Because anything that's contrary to the ways of God tears the people apart and destroys humanity. That's why we hate it. It's not a matter of it just letting it get by. It's a matter of drawing a line in the sand and saying, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and have a commitment to do it. It's not a matter of what you say in your house or how much you pray over a dinner meal. Your children watch who you are, whether you go to church or don't go to church. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you just the way it was. I love sports. Man, I'm an ex-professional baseball player. Ex-professional. The people that I play ball with are still in the major leagues as managers. Some of the most famous people on the planet in sports today that I played ball with. Listen to this. I would not allow my children to play a sport on a Sunday when we were going to church. Because what it said was, the sports game, even though it's a superstar game, an all-star game, is more important than God. And here's the difference. My kids grew up and served God. Everybody compromised. What you compromise to keep, you will lose. Let me say it again. What you compromise to keep, you will lose. And I compromise, people compromise to keep their kids, they lose their kids. Wouldn't allow it. Was I against the sports? No. I said, hey, if they can't play on any day but Sunday, there's no way, you're not going. This is God. This is the day we set aside, and as a family, we're going to church. And God's more important than whether or not you play hockey or don't play hockey or play softball or baseball. Let me tell you something. More important than any soccer game. That soccer game will come and go, but God will be around forever. Now, I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm just telling you how I lived mine. You can disagree all you want. The bottom line is, I got proof in the pudding. The old grandpa, may I say this to you, has got kids that are serving the Lord and grandkids that are coming up. And then may I say this, they didn't always serve the Lord, but man, when they got in trouble, they knew where to go. It was back to God. And the bottom line in all this thing is, we compromise all the time. We make something different than God. We say, it's okay to do that, when in fact, if you laid the law down, what you just said without saying much is that God's more important than anything. And may I say this? Then God honors you. And God honors your children. And God honors your action. And then all of a sudden, God takes their heart and starts massaging it. And all of a sudden, they're serving the Lord instead of running off in evil. Listen to the verse. It says this verse again. It's important. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Verse 9 of the 12th chapter of Romans says it like this. Just pop it up on the overhead. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, don't come around with God and say, I love you, Jesus, with all of my heart, and then go live a double standard life. Please don't do that. It isn't going to work. You say, well, I'm not perfect yet. I know, but guess what? At least get in and do the best you can until you can get those issues dealt with. Don't run from the church. Get into church. Know that we understand that none of us are perfect yet. But man, don't run off. But here's what it says. It says the fear of the Lord. Listen to this. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, I won't be a hypocrite with God. Here's where I am, God. I love you with all of my heart. I'm just learning how to love you. And while I'm learning, everybody needs to love each other while we're learning, so we don't judge and criticize. Anybody listening? It says, abhor evil. In other words, get away from it. Don't allow it in your homes. Don't go, you know, hanging around it. Don't tolerate it and compromise with it. And then he says to cling, or to cleave, hold on tight to that which is good. What's good is God. So number three, real quick. How deep is our love? Well, here's number three. How deep is our trustworthiness? Trustworthiness is a wonderful word. It means how we are reliable. How accountable are we? How faithful are we? With the ability that God gives us, can He count on us to carry out His requests? Or do we go back to number one, we don't carry him out because really we don't reverence and respect him enough? Or maybe we apply number two, we're not committed like we need to be committed. But here's what we have found, Deborah and I, is that God, you've made requests of my life. I don't like some of them. They don't fit with my thinking. It's not the way I was brought up. But God, I know it's your heartbeat. Therefore, something's got to change. And it isn't going to be you, God. It's going to be me. Therefore, I have got to become trustworthy. In other words, worthy of his trust. If you are not trustworthy and he blesses you, the blessing will run you from God. You need to hear it again. If you are not trustworthy and he blesses you, your blessings will run you from God. Only people who are trustworthy can he bless with the goodness of God, because they know where it comes from and they handle it with fear and reverence, handle it with great commitment, and they know how to be trustworthy. Guys, for every one of us that are in here tonight, I applaud you for coming on a Wednesday night. I thank God that we've got a church that's unusual, a tremendously committed church, one who fears God, and one who is definitely, without a doubt, trustworthy. But every one of us, including Pastor Jim, could go to a new level in these three areas of our life. Because there's a depth finder of our heart, and a depth finder that God puts on our life to show how deep we are. By what we do with God shows how much we love God. Remember that? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you're one of those people who say, God, Lord, what are the commandments that you want me to keep? He's not talking about the Old Testament Ten Commandments. He's talking about New Testament heartbeat of God. He says, if you love me, you will. Guess what? Three areas that all of us can work on. Three areas to make sure and check ourselves out from time to time. Number one, the gauge on how deep our love is for God has got to have reverence, respect, awe, the fear of the Lord. Because without it, there's no wisdom. Without that, there's no knowledge, no understanding of what this is all about. Then we go to church and we're brain dead and we leave and we think we're, wonder why our prayers don't get answered. Wonder why people, some people get blessed and we don't. Doesn't God care about us? Why does he care about them and not us? I know, well, how come it works for them and him and her, but it doesn't work for me? And all of a sudden, why? It all went back to the very first step. Work on reverence. Second thing to work on is a wonderful word called commitment. That man, when you say you're something, you're going to do something, you are committed to it. Commitment means my yes is yes and my no is no. Can you imagine what a marriage is like without commitment? It's like a husband coming home and say, well, I love you, woman. You're great. But I'll be out with the boys tonight. You don't love me enough to stay home. You don't love me enough to put the money in the bank that you're going to spend on booze. You don't love me enough to care for me and talk to me. You just want to be out messing around with the guys, and you know what they're talking about. I guarantee it, I'm a man. I know what they're talking about. Doesn't work. Marriages don't work without commitment. Don't work without respect. And don't work if you're not trustworthy. And it's the same thing with God. Those three areas are areas that we can all work on. It brings us to a depth in our love relationship with God that'll take you to new places, new blessings, will open doors for you, open doors for yours, open doors for your future, open your doors for a destiny, open doors for a purpose. When you're old, you will say these words, my God, he has been faithful, and he is worthy of all of my praise, and he alone is my passion. If God spoke to you tonight, come on, give him a great big praise the Lord. Will you do that? Woo! I like that word.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.